New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also check out Off the Floor, now close to 600 regular monthly members, $2.99 per month. This is where the heat conversation happens these days. Don't follow the same six people on Twitter. Go to Discord. Trust me, you'll get a lot of the same views you get on Twitter, but it's a little more educated overall. Check it out. You also can interact with us. We pop in there from time to time. We also give you our host updates as things are going on Five on the Floor and the network. Again, description has the link both here on the YouTube channel and on the podcast. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. A new sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. With oil changes complete in about 15 minutes, maintaining your vehicle is just a quick stop on the way to your summer destinations. Click the link in our bio to receive a coupon that saves $8 off Valvoline full service conventional oil change, or $10 off the full service full synthetic or diesel oil change. This coupon can also be switched out with other offers. So check it out. We've got the link here for Valvoline, again, right here in the description on the podcast, on YouTube, and we're also going to be putting it on Twitter. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said. You in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power. Have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. Greg Sylvander was on playback today. He'll be back with us this week on the podcast. What we're going to talk about today is the Miami Heat's remaining move. That's right. Their remaining move, okay? I'm going to try to temper some expectations here if this has not been done already. Now, again, in our podcast, we have been telling you that free agency was not a place where the Heat were going to be playing a lot, okay? We told you that from the very beginning. We've been downplaying a lot of these trade rumors. It's interesting to me, okay, that people think that we downplay trade rumors to carry water for the organization when literally the lifeblood of this network is transactions. We get more clicks. We get more downloads. We get more money when they make moves. Why the hell would I downplay stuff, okay, if I didn't know it not to be happening? Makes no sense. All right. So we told you that DeMar DeRozan was not a likelihood. He wasn't going to take $5.2 billion. Okay. He's getting $27 million a year, right? Or something like that. What is it? 3 years, 75, 77, something like that. My math. Okay. He's not taking it. Just like he wasn't taking it 3 years ago when people talked about him potentially coming in for the minimum. All right. Not happening. We've also told you they're not in on Trae Young. Okay. We don't believe they're in on Lauri Markkanen, at least not at this time. I understand there were ESPN reports to that effect. My voice is scratchy from having to shoot stuff down, okay? I don't think they're in on Brandon Ingram either. Or Zach LaVine. Who am I missing? Okay? That's not what's likely going to be happening at this time. When they made the Terry Rozier trade, they essentially took themselves out of this free agency. That combined with the new CBA trying to stay under the second apron, which again, in that case, I agree with the organization. I would not operate above the second apron, not with the punitive stuff that comes in with it. Okay. You think they're limited flexibility now? Wait till they're in the second apron. All right. When they made the Rozier trade of Kyle Lowry, instead of letting Lowry's contract expire, they essentially put themselves in a position where the free agent market was pretty much a no-go and trades were going to be more complex. Again, because they traded a first-round pick there also. Okay. With that said, I was in favor of the Rozier trade. Most fans were in favor of the Rozier trade because at that time, the Heat desperately needed a change of point guard and they were still competing. And that's the thing I think that as we get to what this episode is actually about, and I bring in Alex and Brady, that's the thing that I think if you root for this organization, all right, you have to understand what they're about. They don't tank. And if they think they have a chance to win, you may call them delusional. That's reasonable in certain situations. This team last year was basically a flat net rating, okay? But at the time of the trade deadline, the majority of Heat fans were saying, make a move to improve the team and give Jimmy a chance. Now, all of a sudden, it's, well, you're not giving Jimmy a chance because you don't have the flexibility or the assets to make something happen for him, okay? It feels like it's both ways. And that's similar to the idea of why they didn't trade Gabe Vincent or Max Strus at the deadline the year before they lost them for nothing, and why they didn't trade Caleb Martin at the deadline this year. We had an episode where we universally, okay, said you don't trade Caleb now. He came out of the All-Star break on fire from three. He looked like himself, all right? And they did try to retain Caleb. They didn't try to retain Max. They kind of tried to retain Gabe. They definitely tried to retain Caleb. His agent effed up. That's where it's at, okay? So this is where they're at. They got one move left. All right, barring something surprising, I don't expect the move that a lot of Heat fans have talked about, like trading Hero for other parts. Not at this time, okay? They waived Orlando Robinson, which we kind of telegraphed to everybody. They've signed Burks. They've signed Love. Okay. Love is official. He had his presser or his conference call. They're playing around with some different two ways. We will talk about the Summer League in the coming days. Khalil Ware obviously had a breakout game today. So we will get into that over the next couple of days. But they essentially have one roster spot that they're looking to fill. And they have two vehicles to fill it with. They could go sign a player from the outside for basically up to $5.2 million, taxpayer mid-level. Or they could sign their own guy for up to about $6.9 to $7 million, which at this point would be Haywood Highsmith. So I'll go to you guys, and let's start with this. Brady, you have pretty much been out there saying Spo needs a perimeter defender. They lost Delon Wright. They're bringing back Josh, but he wasn't great in that role last year. They've lost Caleb. Do they need to re-sign Haywood Highsmith and just call it a day?
I think they do. And it sounds crazy because I know a lot of people want moves. And you fact when you say one more move and the fact, I think a lot of people want a change of scenery. They want something different in this line to give it a little bit of juice. But I just don't think change all the time is good change. And when you have a guy like Haywood in the mix, like before we started this podcast, I was going through kind of the Heat's rotation potentially right now as it stands without that last roster spot. And it's clear there's two things that they have to attack. It's a perimeter wing defender, which is re-signing Haywood Highsmith. And if you don't do that, it's getting a backup point guard because they don't really have either one of those right now. If you're kind of starting a rotation built right now, your backup point guard is what, either Alec Burks or Josh Richardson. So you do kind of are in need, unless you stagger and you play positionless basketball and you say you don't need it, that's fine. But I do think the bigger thing here is we've been talking about leaning offense and it's been a thing for a while, but when it comes down to it, Eric Spoelstra and this Heat team leans on their perimeter defenders, not only on that end of the floor, but they've explored things offensively to maximize them. Like their offense is based off of these 3-and-D type of players that could close games and play in a certain spot in the corners and slash and do all these things. Like, yeah, Jaime is going to have to be a major part of that if they don't bring back Haywood. It's Jaime, and that's pretty much it. Like, he's going to have to take a major jump defensively, and he's going to be a big part of the offense with his shooting. So with that said, I kind of do feel that Haywood's kind of the best option. I'm just looking at this roster and what they need and the stuff that they run and the way that they're – like we're sitting here talking about Khalil Ware and him being a monster and him kind of doing some of these things defensively in the summer league. Well, the only way you're going to see him do any of that in the regular season with this Heat team is if you get some guys to run around screens for him. Because if he's just sitting there defending and drop with these guys getting killed in the point of attack, what do you have? So I think Haywood is kind of – if you're – you know, we're talking about competing. We're talking about trying to win now and build in the Jimmy era and kind of maximize this last season before we kind of talk free agency with Jimmy. I think the player you need most is a perimeter defender like Haywood. And I don't think, you know, I think a lot of people think he is what he is. Like there's no more growth to be done, but he's grown a lot up to this point. And the offense, I still like the shooting, taking that big of a jump of what he was last the year before last to what he was this past season, where he came into camp and he was shooting to start the season. Like in a crazy level, there's things to build off there. So I do like a couple of the names, but I do think that if it was me, I think I'd lean Haywood.
You also, Alex?
Yeah, right. And without just getting into like, you know, names to compare him to that are out there in free agency, because we're going to get to that. You know, spoiler alert, I'm with Brady here. I think Haywood is the best option available for what they need. Maybe not the best player available in the free agent market, right? But I think Haywood is so valuable, so good at what he does, and is now about twice as valuable specifically to the Heat because of the guys that they've lost, and also because of the guys they've added, because they added, you know, like an offensive kind of, you know, offense first piece in Alec Burks. They got like, you know, they've got the rest of their roster filled out, and you need perimeter defense, you need wing defense. He gives you both in one. And it's somebody who they already know and love, somebody familiar with the system. It just feels like the right move would be to bring him back. Now, of course, it's going to depend on, you know, Haywood's market and who, you know, what's available out there for him. I'm sure he would want to be back. But I doubt that he would, you know, take less to stay with the Heat than, you know, take more from, you know, whatever team offers him more. So to me, Haywood is the guy you bring back. I think you need somebody that strong at perimeter defense, and he's just really good at what he does. Bring him back. To me, that's the best move. There's still some names out here that we'll get into that I think can, you know, can provide them value at the veteran minimum otherwise. But I just think Haywood at this point, that's the move.
All right, we're going to get into some of those players in a second. I've come around to this also, I'll just say, even though I do like a couple of names on this list, and I do understand the change for change's sake. One thing we will do on a podcast this week is I asked fans on Twitter, what is the one move you would have liked to have seen the Heat make to this point? And I can just tell you 90% of the things that were put out there were just not possible. And I don't know if we're doing a poor job of educating about the aprons, about the tax, about the cap and all that. I know that, well, I wouldn't say 90%. It's possible to trade Tyler Hero because it seems like that's the number one thing that everybody wants. But it's like, do you want to trade Tyler Hero for something? I mean, is that or nothing? Like, because for some, it seems like, you know, for some, it feels like, you know, that's it. That's the end game to this. Like, everybody will say, okay, they didn't run it back because there's no Tyler. Does that make you better? Like, are you getting something to actually make you better in that? I think people are kind of have lost their way a little bit on that. So we'll do a separate episode on that. But we are going to get to some of these players they could look at here over the next couple of weeks. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor, PrizePicks. Use the code 5FIVE. Get your initial deposit match up to $100. Is legal in the state of Florida again, their new arena game. And we tell you all the time, there's lots of stuff to do on there. Even there's no NBA or NHL right now. There is MLB. There is WNBA. There's MMA. There's PGA. Everything is on there. Wimbledon is on there as well. So check it out. Prize Picks. Use the code 5FIVE. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space. And that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor in the 5 Reasons Sports Network. And by now, you know that I'm an avid proponent of Prize Picks. That's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. I feel like half of them are in our audience. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you got to do is pick more or less on 2-4 player stat projections in Florida and 2-6 in other states and watch the winnings roll in. They've got great promotions too. For instance, in September, only one Caleb Williams passing yard got you a win. Just one. Even a Bears quarterback can do that. And one of the great things about Prize Picks is it's the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. There's a certain basketball team we know that that comes in handy with, right? All right, so you got to check out Prize Picks. I've had great experiences with all along. It's fun, it's simple, and again, you can play all of the different sports. So download the Prize Picks apps today and use the code 5 on the floor. Spell that one out this time, 5 on the floor, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's right, the code 5 on the floor on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
All right, let me give you some of the players. This was on our Instagram today. Jeremy Kessieva put this up. Here are some of the players that are still available that Heat fans have talked about. Tyus Jones, point guard of Washington. Josh Okogie, kind of a swingman for the Suns. Sadiq Bey, more of a shooter, swingman. He's been in a bunch of places, but Detroit. Lonnie Walker. Somebody I wanted them to look at last year, actually, had a good year for the Nets. Patrick Beverley is another name that came up. Alex, you have a couple others maybe that might be interesting. I mean, they ain't going to sign Kyle Lowry.
I mean, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you can aggregate that and report that. But no, but in all seriousness, just like other names that are on this list that the Heat could maybe consider, you know, I think you mentioned Sadiq Bey. Did you mention
it? I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's Robert Covington. There's Reggie Bullock. There's Marcus Morris. You know, Jay Crowder. So some old familiar names here. There's KJ Martin, who the Heat have had, you know, some interest in the past. Tayden Horton Tucker. You mentioned Gordon Hayward. There's also Javonte Green and Stanley Johnson. You know, I don't put all these names together all like to say that they're all on the same level for me of consideration, anything like that. I'm just throwing out some potential names they could be looking at, but you know. There's also Gary Trent Jr. I don't remember if you mentioned him. Landry Shamet, another guy who the Heat have looked into in the past. To me, the most interesting ones are like what Brady said, the guys who provide perimeter defense, just because that's the skill that you can get at this price, you know, and actually get like a pretty good perimeter defender. So like a Dennis Smith Jr., even a Markelle Fultz. I don't know if that would be possible. I think he's probably going to want to get paid more than a minimum. And I don't know if the Heat would want to offer him the taxpayer mid-level, because that would be the other option for them. But, you know, Fultz, Dennis Smith Jr., like to me, those are the best perimeter defenders available. Then you got Josh Okogie, who kind of fills both wing and perimeter defense and would be like right in line for the type of player that the Heat have had the past few years, where it's like a 6'5 wing who plays above his size, who's, you know, like he's a sneaky good offensive rebounder. And then the other way that he fits right along like that build is just a very questionable shooter and definitely a worse shooter than Haywood and Caleb, in my opinion. You know, his best shooting season, Okogie, was at 33%. So that's not exactly what you want. I think he provides the other stuff. And if you can get him at the minimum, I think that would be still a pretty good value add. I don't think that's realistic, to be honest. I'm kind of expecting the Suns to, at some point, just re-sign him, assuming they have his bird rights there. So I don't know if that's realistic. Covington, to me, is one that I keep coming back to, because that one is, like, for sure he could be had at the minimum. He's done, you know, like that 3-and-D role. He's been in that role for his entire career, right? So, like, he's been doing this forever. And then I was looking at, like, some of his stats and stuff before we started. You know, the defensive stats still kind of favor him there. He still, yeah, like, has a decent steals percentage, still has a decent, like, defensive estimated plus-minus. He's always been, like, a decent three-point shooter, not knocked out, but not as, you know, bad as, like, an Okogie, for example. So that's one that just, like, that I'm keeping in the back of my mind, where it's, like, you know, maybe we can get some of what Haywood was giving you for the bet minimum. Except, you know, I just don't think he's, like, Covington was a great defender during his prime. I don't think he's there anymore. I think he's, like, 32 years old now. So not too old, but still, like, Haywood is just miles ahead of him as a perimeter defender, in my opinion. You know, I think Haywood and is also a great wing defender. He's just I think he gives you more as a defender at this point than Covington. But that's one that's interesting to me. And the other one that I come back to is, like, guys who they could maybe get for the taxpayer mid level. So that's I mentioned Fultz there. That one would be a weird one, because he really can't shoot, but he does get to the paint a lot. He gets to the paint. He gets to the free throw line and defends at a high level and can defend, I would say, like, 1 through 3. So that's an interesting one. That's kind of a weird fit. Then there's Tyus Jones, who's out there and who people wanted this year. I just think it sucks, because he would be really nice at the taxpayer mid level, but it's like you need a specific skill set. So it's not a great situation there. And then there's also Gary Trent Jr., with kind of a similar thing, where it's like you just signed another shooter. You need a perimeter defender, and Gary Trent is, like, another guy who is going to fire, right? He's going to launch from three. I think he's an okay defender, you know, like, not, I wouldn't say not positive, not negative. He's decent there. But if you could get him at the taxpayer mid level, I just think, like, in general, individually, that's great value. And honestly, I wouldn't be against it. But yeah, those are, like, the ones that stand out to me the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gary Trent Jr. made sense if you traded Duncan. I mean, if Duncan's still there, you've added
Tyler.
Or Tyler, right. But, I mean, as long as they're still there, I don't think it's a need. I'll ask this. Covington also is annually been one of the top five in the league in deflections. His defense reminds me maybe of where Iguodala was towards the end, where it's more sort of based on instincts, doesn't have quite the athletic ability he used to have. But he is a Heat player. Like, he's a and I can tell you, Clippers fans were upset that Ty Lue wouldn't play him.
And much younger than Iguodala was when the Heat got him, if I remember correctly.
He is. But Andre kept himself in such crazy good shape that he still could provide a little bit, but it was still more on guile. I'll ask this, Brady, though. I think we're kind of in agreement on Highsmith, but Tyus Jones is someone who, I mean, his assist-to-turnover ratio is typically really good. Takes care of the ball. Do they need another point guard? Because I'm looking at the roster. I mean, they don't have DeLon. Patty Mills was here. He isn't here anymore. I mean, the summer league, I mean, that kid Stevens looks pretty good in summer league pulling, but I don't think either of them is ready. I mean, I guess Drew Smith, right? I mean, are we back there? Is that going to be the backup point guard? I mean, we talk about, I mean, do they?
Perimeter defense, baby.
Well, he's not bad there. I mean, Rozier, I mean, we don't even know if Rozier is going to be. I mean, I've reported he's going to be ready for training camp, but I mean, they seem to have a depth issue there again, right? I mean, 100%. Josh, is it going to be Josh?
Yeah, I said earlier, it's Josh or Alec Burks. Like, that's your backup point guard situation right now.
No.
So 100%. Can't
be Alec, like, Burks.
Well, that's my point. Like, they don't have any other point guards other than Terry Rozier. It's like Drew Smith on a two-way if they bump a Poland or a Stevens up on a two-way. But none of these guys are ready right now for a roster that we're talking about potentially competing or trying to, you know, figure this last spot out. So Tyus Jones 100% makes a lot of sense. And here's the other reason: the Jimmy factor. Like, he's somebody that's close with Jimmy. And if you're trying to keep Jimmy happy with what just happened this last offseason, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to get an old friend in the group that can definitely help them with that. Just being like an under control point guard, just like not being, you mentioned the assist to turnover ratio, just like doing the right things in the offense and setting everybody up. It's not the worst thing, but like, I just look at like, who makes the bigger difference? Like, whatever, Tyus Jones among this group is the most talented, best player among this group. So if you're just getting best player, like if we're drafting, like you'd get Tyus Jones. But who makes the biggest difference to this team? Is it adding a backup point guard that could set up the offense and you just don't have a defense really? Or is it adding the perimeter defense and trying to just do what they've done before and figure out the offense in another way and hope somebody, you know, jumps in? Here's the other part. If you get Tyus Jones, you're really comfortable with a guy like Keshawn Johnson. Like, if you think you have another Haywood Highsmith down the pipeline, which the one guy that is potentially is Keshawn Johnson, just being a 3-and-D physical defender, if you, since he's on a two-way, if you feel comfortable with him and you feel you could play him in the regular season and he could kind of be that guy in the press that could guard certain wings and shut down, you know, that side of the ball, then go for Tyus Jones. But I just don't know if that's the move. I just still come back to it. Like, you're the whole process of this undrafted thing has worked out. So if you're going to bet on anything, it's betting on that. But that's really taking a gamble, because we know Spo has a major influence on this. And you're talking about the last spot. I believe Spo probably has a major influence on this last spot. I can't see him like looking away from Haywood in this spot. Like, the fact that he's played lineups with only defensive wings. Like, most closing lineups for this team in recent years is just straight defensive wings all over the place. So he's already lost one. He's losing a couple. And now you have a guy that your last one on the board potentially losing. Like, it's tough to see. And then the other guy you mentioned, Alex, that I think is interesting other than Tyus Jones is Dennis Smith Jr. I just think he fits Miami. Like, the ties – you're picking between Jimmy's friend and Bam's friend, essentially. We're back to the Jimmy timeline. Well,
they just picked between Bam's extension and Jimmy's extension. So fair.
So maybe Jimmy gets a point here. And maybe they get Bam extension and Jimmy the guy.
I think it would suggest that Bam would get the guy he wants also, right? No?
Maybe. I mean, Dennis Smith Jr. fits, though. Like, the defensive stuff, the point of attack stuff, the higher upside player, the younger guy that can still do things offensively. Like, if you're trying to bridge a backup point guard with perimeter defense, there's Dennis Smith Jr. sitting right there, and you can kind of bridge the two things that you're in need of. And
you just let's just be honest, you just want him because he keeps liking your tweets saying that he's a fit in Miami, right?
Maybe that's possible. That's part of it. That might be part of it. So if Haywood, if Tyus Jones starts liking my tweets, maybe I'll start propping him up over maybe a little bit more. No, but it sounds bad, though. I know we're going to keep coming back to this, but as much as you look at these options, like, I think you're going to come around on Haywood even more, like a little bit more. Like, the names you're mentioning, Alex, like Robert Covington in this, like, you got to get, like, you just said he's younger than Iguodala. Like, yeah. Like, we got to get younger than Iguodala, like, by like maybe 7-8 years, please. Like, can we get some youth in the group? And then you mentioned like a Josh Okogie. Like, Haywood's a better defender, and you trust his 3-point shot a lot more. Like, I feel like a lot of people just want change with this last spot, but how about you just get the guy you trust and then figure the rest of it later? I don't know.
I kind of feel like we didn't devote a full episode to the Thomas Bryant re-signing, but I kind of feel like that pushed in this direction too, because then it's like, I mean, they really are in a lot of ways bringing back the same team. I mean, like, I didn't think Thomas Bryant was going to be back, honestly. And then Drew, I did think was going to be back, but I don't think a lot of Heat fans thought was going to be back. Josh, we knew was going to be back because he was going to opt in. Love, I think we figured was going to be back. But yeah, I think there is this just this desire for change. And I just keep telling people the change is probably not going to come now. The change may come at the deadline, depending on where this team is. And, you know, they have to fix that. It's just crazy for me to say this because I've been pushing for them to get more offensive minded, but I mean, the defense could fall apart this year. I mean, you're asking Bam to do a lot, and now you're asking him to do a lot more. And I don't know, you know, if Jimmy's going to be consistently engaged on the defensive end. I don't. And now you're in a position where you may be asking Jimmy to guard these guys, these point guards and all the rest of this, because they don't have anybody else to do it. If you're starting a Hero Rozier backcourt, I mean, it's pray for help, essentially. I don't see how they're going to guard. I guess, I mean, maybe he gets a role earlier, but I mean, look, and the other option is that it's, I think they may end up going with the Hero Robinson starting backcourt this time.
I was thinking about that too. I was thinking like, what if Terry is their backup point guard? I'm not expecting that.
It kind of feels like the current roster, and based on what Pat said about Rozier and then what he said to me about Hero, that the lean here is to keep Tyler in the starting lineup, and I just don't see a Rozier Hero starting backcourt working. Not consistently. Well,
whichever one ends up on the bench,
patches of the game. Yeah,
whichever one of them were to end up on the bench, potentially, not saying it will happen. I'm still expecting Terry and Tyler to be the starting backcourt, but just like to exercise this, right? I think, you know, that kind of solves your backup point guard issue in the sense of like, you know, whoever it is going to be the one like the ball is going through.
But then you're asking Jimmy to handle a ton too in the starting lineup. Like, I mean,
one of their better defenders right now is Pel Arson. Like at this point, you're doing this whole like lean offense thing where you better hope that Jimmy doesn't have to score a lot, right? Because the whole way your roster is built right now is like, okay, everybody else will help contribute to scoring because, you know, defense is not going to be our strong suit. And that's so weird from how it's been this whole era where it's like defense was what they were leaning into.
But so let's close with this then. Let's say they re-sign Haywood. Does he start?
Doubt it.
If I'm talking about starting Duncan and Hero, you don't see a scenario where Haywood would start to guard opposing guards.
I'm not doing that. As much as you say you're leaning into like Jimmy and winning now and everything, you need to lean into your two young guys. If you're keeping your young guys around, you start Nico. You start Nico. You give Jaime a bunch of reps. Like I'm not for that specifically. Now, that's why when you mentioned like Tyler.
What about starting Jaime or Jimmy at the two? Putting both young guys.
One of them better have like a big uptick in shooting this offseason.
Well, maybe Jaime has.
If you feel comfortable with that. Then that's a perfect world. If he has an uptick in shooting, then that's your guy.
And the other thing with Jaime is like if he comes off the bench, that's another guy that the ball goes through.
Right, but could you see a start? I know people just want where to start now after one game, but like I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's something we could see later in the season. I mean, people are already forgetting about Jovic. Like literally, like perfect four next to Bam, and now
the same age Bam. Too.
Bam's not going to be a five anymore, so let's move him over.
But you just benched him.
Right. I mean, could we see a starting lineup of? Let me just throw this one out there.
Oh gosh,
Hero, Hawkins. Butler, Jovic, Bam. Bring Rozier and Robinson off the bench. With where? And who would be the other one? Larson or Josh?
Or Haywood if he comes back.
Or Haywood. But I think Burks is situational.
I agree. That one I could see more. Then we're having the conversation media day where we're talking about point Tyler and asking him the same question he's got 74 times about being the point guard, and then he says he's not.
What if it's point Hawkins? Point Jovic. You're putting the ball in Hawkins' hands more often anyway, right? I mean, they're going to run more on ball.
Point guards.
If you re-sign Haywood Highsmith and you lean that over backup point guard, you're pretty much hinting at the fact that you're playing the guys like Nico and Bam and these others at point guard. That's just what we're coming down to. I don't hate that. I don't hate what you said, that one specifically, but they're better. He said after the season, there's two things he thinks he's going to have to work on is three-point shooting and lockdown defense. So if that really is coming to fruition and you see a jump, even with the three-point shooting specifically, I don't think that's crazy. I think you could have to lean into that just to make the roster, I guess, more balanced,
right? And also you're basically putting it on your young guys. You're saying, here, Jaime, Nico, it's your time. Go. But Jimmy, Bam, and either Rozier or Hero.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
So once again, you're leaning on both timelines. You're bridging both timelines together.
I mean, they're stuck doing that as long as Jimmy's here. I mean, that's the thing. And that's, you know, that's why this sort of is starting to feel inevitable to me that, you know, this is Jimmy's last year in Miami. Don't aggregate that.
Oh,
anyway, it's time. Too late. It's time. It's time to go. Thanks to our sponsors, Valvoline. Look for the link in the bio or link in the description, and also Prize Picks. I'm not talking anymore. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.